5, The Tap,
WCFW HD2, Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks. The carnage continues in Gaza following yesterday's hospital explosion that killed hundreds. But President Biden was in Israel today and says these terrorists will not win.
The president promised unwavering support for Israel and its war against Hamas. He also made this announcement.
Israel agreed the humanitarian assistance can begin to move from Egypt to Gaza. Let me be clear. If Hamas diverts or steals the assistance, they will have demonstrated once again that they have no concern for the welfare of the Palestinian people.
The president also said U.S. intelligence has concluded the explosion at a hospital in Gaza City was due to an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
Here at home, protesters mobbed the U.S. Capitol calling for a ceasefire in the Middle East. CBS's Nicole Killian is there.
This group is a group of Jewish activists in support of Palestine, as you can hear them chanting and seeing their signs calling for a ceasefire. This was a demonstration that started on the National Mall and eventually made its way here to the Capitol with dozens, if not hundreds, of demonstrators who made it inside the rotunda of the Cannon office building.
About 300 people have been arrested so far. Meantime, the House is on recess again following a second round of votes for Speaker. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan failed to win it with just 199 votes. And now some lawmakers are eyeing another candidate.
We need to get back to work. We need to allow Patrick McHenry to do the job as Speaker pro tem with the authority to govern.
That's New York's Mike Lawler. Yoram Vandersloot finally confessed to killing Natalie Holloway in Aruba 18 years after the teenager's disappearance. A huge relief today for her family.
We finally, today, we got justice for Natalie.
Vandersloot will spend decades behind bars. He pleaded guilty to extortion. A judge in Minnesota has declared a new state law restoring voting rights for convicted felons. It's already getting a ton of criticism from the state's attorney general and the secretary of state, who have vowed to fight it. Apparently, if you hit snooze, you don't lose. CBS's Christian Benavidez explains why.
The data shows some participants who were able to snooze for 30 minutes or more had improved cognitive tests compared to those who woke up abruptly. But we should point out, while snoozing may have some benefits for the snoozer, it's likely an annoying habit for any non-snoozing partner.
You may just feel a little more drowsy in the mornings, but snooze on, friends. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Stewart.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced more than $134 million in quarterly aid payments for local roads and communities. The funds are meant to assist local governments complete transportation-related projects and make up nearly a third of the state's transportation budget. Over $131 million of the funding will go to local governments, with over $3 million going to 116 eligible municipalities for connecting highways and another $250,000 going to expressway policing in Milwaukee County. The man charged with bringing a gun to the Wisconsin Capitol on two occasions in the same day was arrested again last night. 43-year-old Joshua Pleasnik was charged with carrying a concealed weapon and was booked in the Dane County Jail. Earlier this month, Pleasnik was charged with bringing a loaded handgun into the Capitol while looking for Governor Tony Evers, then returning to the Capitol after posting bail with an assault-style rifle. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday day after edition. Dom, how you feeling, fella?
Happy, happy, happy hump day to you, Critty. Feeling good, man. Feeling fine. Thank you, Nate, for yesterday. Thank you for being here today, our fair audience as well. Happy hump day to us all.
Dom, let's jump right into the headlines. You know, the Kenneth Cheesebro, the trial's going to start next week. And the judge, there was a question about whether or not all the charges might be dismissed. That ain't happening. So it's game on time, right? Game on time. And oh, by the way, we should tell you, we got a fine guest joining us, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. He was at the party last night. He'll be here on the air with us about 4:30. So make sure you stick around for Nick. But here's the lead. New York Times reporting. Trump lawyer acknowledged political agenda in election suit email show. This headline, not nearly as galling as you're about to be when we get into the meat of this reporting. The subheadline, Kenneth Cheesebro said that even long shot litigation would hold political advantages, undercutting assertions that Donald J. Trump's lawyers were simply providing legal advice in challenging the 2020 results. Maggie Haberman, Luke Broadwater reporting. December 24, 2020, Kenneth Cheesebro and other lawyers fighting to reverse President Donald J. Trump's election defeat were debating whether to file litigation contesting Biden's victory in Wisconsin, a key swing state. Oh, it's always key here, Dom. Cheesebro argued, they always call him Mr. Cheesebro, argued that there was little doubt that the litigation would fail in court. He put the odds of winning at 1%.
You're saying there's a chance.
As Mr. Trump continued to push his baseless claims of widespread fraud, according to emails reviewed by the New York Times. But the relevant analysis, air quotes, Mr. Cheesebro argued, is political. The emails have new significance because Cheesebro is scheduled to be one of the first two of Mr. Trump's 18 co-defendants to go to trial this month on charges brought by the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia. Now, the indictment accuses Cheesebro of conspiring to create slates of so-called fake electors pledged to Mr. Trump in several states that Mr. Biden has won. Cheesebro's lawyers have argued that his work was shielded by the First Amendment, and that he, and here's a quote, acted within his capacity as a lawyer. Maybe he shouldn't be a lawyer. They have called for his case to be dismissed, saying he was merely, and here's again a quote, researching and finding precedents in order to form a legal opinion, which was then supplied to his client, the Trump campaign. Scott Grubman, a lawyer for Mr. Cheesebro, said lawyers often argue for positions that are not widely held. For example, any lawyer who has ever filed a pleading challenging existing Supreme Court precedent falls within this category. Maybe a long shot, but far from criminal. In fact, it's how the law changes over time. Oh, they're trying to change some laws, Dom. A little bit more here, and then maybe you can help. Mr. Trump has also signaled that one of his possible defenses is that he was simply acting on the advice of his lawyers, doing what the lawyers told him like he always does, right, Dom? But Cheesebro's emails could undercut any effort to show that lawyers were focused solely on legal strategies. Rather than considering just the law and the facts of the case, Mr. Cheesebro made clear he was considering politics and was well aware of how the Trump campaign's legal filings could be used as ammunition for Republicans' efforts to overturn the results when Congress meant to certify the election, you know, now I'm on January 6, 2021.
Here is a quote from Cheesebro in the email chain. Just getting this on file means that on January 6th, the court will either have ruled on the merits or, vastly more likely, will have appeared to dodge again. He added that a lack of action by the Supreme Court would feed, quote, the impression that the courts lacked the courage to fairly and timely consider these complaints and justifying a political argument on January 6th that none of the electoral votes from the states with regard to which the judicial process has failed should be counted. Again, ammunition. Of the chances of success, Cheesebro estimated the odds the court would grant effective relief before January 6th. I'd say only 1%, but he wrote his filing has possible political value. Cheesebro wrote that it was, quote, hard to have enormous optimism about what will happen on January 6th, but a lot can happen in the 13 days left until then. And I think having as many states under review, both judicially and in-state legislatures as possible, is ideal. And it gets worse. He said the legal filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument that there should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state. He added, the public should come away from this believing that the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected.
Dominic, you got sort of hot under the collar the other day. We reviewed the legal filings on Monday of Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu, and Chris Kapinga, the legislative leaders, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. And I think the part that kind of had you a little hot and bothered was the fact they were lying through their teeth to the public, to the press, right up until they had to make a legal filing. Well, Dom, how's this Cheesebro legal filing? Because this was offered and this is going to undercut his defense, right? But how's this one make you feel, Dom?
It's more of the same, Crudy. It's these Republicans using the courts for political purposes. I want to just repeat this and we'll wrap it up. Again, Maggie Haberman, the New York Times. Cheesebro said the filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument. There should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state, adding that the public should come away from this believing the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected. And what do we hear from here?
Rigged.
Politicians, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Oh, election irregularities, right? I mean, I still get emails from the hot folks, man. You know what I'm saying? That's all over. Why do we have, we don't have faith in the elections and we got to do this, we got to do that because people don't have faith in the elections. When the guys like Cheesebro and those very same politicians knew that this is bunk, man. And Trump can no longer simply say he was relying on the advice of his attorneys. A little bit more here. Responding to the email chain was John Eastman.
Who, Dom?
Conservative lawyer. John Eastman. You know, John Eastman.
John Eastman's been in the state of Wisconsin as recently as, 2022? Trying to overturn the validity of the election from 2020. And at that time, Robin Voss took the meeting, right, Dom?
He sure did, Crudy. Responding to the email chain was Eastman, the conservative lawyer who has also been charged in the Georgia election case. Eastman said he believed the legal arguments were rock solid, but the odds of success were not based on the legal merits, but an assessment of the judge's spines. And I understand that there is a heated fight underway. Cheeseborough responded in his email chain, "I particularly agree that getting this on file gives more ammo to the justices fighting for the court to intervene. I think the odds of action before January 6th will become more favorable if justices start to fear that there will be wild chaos on January 6th unless they rule by then either way." Wow. Trump posted to Twitter days before. First followers to come to the January 6th told him it will be wild, Crudy. It'll be wild.
I mean, it'd be a shame if your country burnt down between now and January 6th if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't find the way we want them to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, forget about it. You know, friend of ours.
I mean, this plot has thickened down.
Reviewed by the New York Times suggests that Cheeseborough, a quiet Harvard Law School law graduate from Wisconsin, was in the crowd outside the Capitol on January 6th. He spent part of the day closely following conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who helped lead a mob toward the building. Cheeseborough. Of course, it's political ammunition. I mean, the point of this is to walk away so the folks in Wisconsin think that this was stolen, that they got robbed. This, you know, Biden and Harris, they stole it from him. Donald Trump is rightly your president. And they still believe this to this day. I mean, there is a residual from this lie.
Dom, if you'll recall, earlier stories of Cheeseborough found him divorcing his wife, Emily Stevens, a physician who later went to law school and occasionally wrote co-briefs with him. And do you recall, Dom, what changed the tenor of Cheeseborough's life?
I think he made a bunch of money on crypto.
He's a crypto, you know, bro.
Traded her in for a newer model.
Like a shiny new model, a 20-year-old, Dom, if I recall. And this Cheeseborough guy, my understanding, court still scheduled on the 23rd. Do you think a week from now, Dom, we'll be talking about the Cheeseborough trial?
I absolutely hope so. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yes, please. May we please address this? Can we go down this road, please? Yes. Yes.
You know, I'll be in D.C. next Wednesday and Thursday. Now I'm taking the Fall in Love Tour 2023 to a new hometown. Going to the District of Columbia next week. Wish you were coming with, but I'll party without you, Dom. You know, political party. You know how we do it around here.
Tell Bill I said, hey, I hope you hook up.
Bill Press, looking forward to making his company. Also, got some plans with Mark Pocan, my congressman. We're going to hang out as well. I'll bring you back some details, Dom. I'm sure I'll have a few stories from D.C., from the swamp.
Right.
Know where I'm staying? Nice hotel right on DuPont Circle. Remember
when they were giving away joints when we were there last
time, right? Free joints the day of the Trump inauguration. And you always kind of let me down, Dom. You didn't smoke it when you were supposed to. 4 minutes and 20 seconds into Trump's inauguration speech. We literally had the best seats in the house of all the stoners, those that received the free joints. And that only means you, because, you know, I wasn't going to skip the 4 block long line like you chose to do.
I didn't do it on purpose.
But at 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the Trump inaugural speech, we looked back at what he described as the biggest crowd ever. And we looked for puffs of smoke. The telltale sign that others were following suit, Dom. But apparently, no one did it. But this Cheeseborough guy, I don't like him. These Republicans, they piss me off a lot lately. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
That guy.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values.
So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, cloudy, maybe a shower, and a low in the upper 40s. More clouds for tomorrow, a ray or two of sun in the afternoon, high near 60 degrees. Lots of sun and low 60s on Friday. Partly cloudy for the weekend, a touch cooler, still pretty nice for this time of year, mid-50s. It's 55 right now.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us on the lines. Offer your opinions, your thoughts at 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got to acknowledge the party that occurred yesterday. Nearly epic in scope. It was quite a rager. I got to tell you, it's got to go down in one of our top 3 to 5 parties ever, Dom, as the Devil's Advocates. We've been partying for a long time, so this was a damn good party. I hope you were there. If you missed it, you missed out because it was a good time. I want to acknowledge some of the people, and there were so many people there. I can't acknowledge them all, but a couple I've got to name. Of course, the proprietor, Hawk. We were at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge on Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. The fine proprietor, Hawk. You know, he took care of our tab last night, Dom.
I know. He's so nice.
He was. And, you know, the only complaint I would have, Hawk, because you're always a gracious host. Next time, the Devil's Advocates tell you they're coming down to party. And I don't care if it's a Tuesday night in October, just some rando Tuesday night. Dude, put on some extra staff. That poor girl was humping all night long at the bar last night.
Did a hell of a job.
She barely kept up. And I mean, she was running all night long because Devil's Advocate's got lots of friends, lots of partying people. I saw some sponsor types. Our friend Al Bachman from Bachman Construction. It's been too long. I saw Gordy Kopke from Kopke's Greenhouses. I saw Jesse from Solidarity Realty, where, of course, I'm in the Solidarity Realty studios as we speak right now. I also saw, and like to acknowledge our fine guests, Dom. They included my county executive, Dane County exec, Joe Parisi. Joe's retiring. He's on the way out. More time with family. Retiring, he claims. We'll see. Maybe he's, you know, going to take a run at talk radio or something, Dom.
I mean, that qualifies him to do everything.
And I would also like to acknowledge our own civic media host, the show that comes after ours, Maggie Dawn. Great to see her. Great to see Anya and Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. And, oh, yeah, one other fine guest, Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor. And I'd just like to throw this out there. She didn't give me any sort of insights, but I'm just going to start speculating. Start a draft, if you will, Dom. Chris Taylor for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I got to tell you, I looked up the races coming up in the years to come. Because this is one, you got to be like the conservatives. You got to look out at the map. You got to look out at the future and say, what will the future bring? Well, I think it's going to bring a Chris Taylor candidacy. No special insights, but I just think she is the right candidate. And here's what I would point out. Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley, July 31st of 2025, that's next spring, if she doesn't choose to run for re-election, she's 73 years old now, it's a 10-year term, but if Ann Walsh Bradley chooses not to run for re-election, well, guess what? We need you, Chris Taylor, right now. Break glass in case of emergency. I'd be breaking some glass. And if Ann Walsh Bradley runs again, I'd encourage her candidacy and I would support it. But that very next year, Dom, 2026 spring election, the bad Bradley's on the ballot. Rebecca Bradley.
You got that date on the calendar, huh, Crudy?
That would be an April election, and then the new justice would join the court on August 1st of 2026. That'd also be a fine job for current Wisconsin Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor.
Either one.
District Court Judge, state lawmaker, now an Appellate Court Judge. I don't think there is any more prepared candidate in the state of Wisconsin than our friend Chris Taylor. So I'm just saying, when it's time to draft her, I'm going to start drafting her. We need her on that wall. We need her on that court. Sooner or later, Chris Taylor, I hope, will join the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think that's where she ultimately belongs. And I was happy to hear. I know once upon a time when we talked to her when she was a state lawmaker, she'd considered, you know, roles like attorney general, running for AG at some point. But she seems far more, she seems very satisfied with this career tact in the courts, in the judiciary. And I would say, you know, this is a super talented human being. We want our best and our brightest to rise up in politics and in the courts. Well, they don't get much better than Chris Taylor. But here's some other attendees. There were so many people at the party. Hassel, Annalise, always great to see Annalise, and Lisa Joe, and Mark from the SAC brought me cookies. So did Lisa Joe. She brought you green M&Ms. Buddy, the green M&Ms, they're probably still at the bar.
Oh, what? Was that Lisa Joe brought the green mason jar?
Among other things, she brought a
mason jar full of green M&Ms. There's a lot of green in my world last night. Thank you, Lisa. I didn't even get one. I know
Jorge had a couple of handfuls.
I know you had a few handfuls. Yes. I don't know what happened, Lisa. Man.
Hassel sent me home with some fine alcohol. I was a little nervous driving home last night between all the loose joints and the alcohol in the back. You know, I felt like I should take the back roads.
We had what? Random Dave came around, man.
Oh, there were so many people that came around.
Katie as well. We wrapped the night up. It was just so much fun.
Let me point out one other person that came around. Currently banned from the airwave, CJ showed up at the party last night. And I photographed CJ out by the back fence at the Jade Monkey. And we're going to have a little captioning contest. I've put his photograph up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. If you've never joined or liked or followed us, today would be an excellent day. Because I need you to caption the photo of CJ on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Now, he showed up at the party, and we made it very clear. You know, showing up at the party doesn't mean you're not banned from the airwaves for the entire pumpkin spice month of October. You are. But I assured him, if he sat in the penalty box, if he did his purgatory month, there would be some day that we would welcome him back to the airwaves with a very short leash. And I said, most important part is
nice, man.
You got to follow the topics we're talking about, man. You can't just go random trolling Joe Biden each and every day. It gets very tedious. That's why we banned you for the month of October. But good to see you at the party.
Yes. Let me just say, it was great to see everyone. Sorry, I know I forget names sometimes. Jim, Kurt, and I know there's some folks there that I didn't get enough time with. So thank you everybody for coming out. I didn't get enough time with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So let's get him in next, folks. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
CBS News Brief. We're following breaking news out of Washington, where Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says he will push for a third speaker vote in the House tomorrow after failing to get enough support again today. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Jim Jordan did lose two additional votes. Obviously, there were 20 who voted against him yesterday, now 22 today, although he did flip some people for him, but also more against him.
President Biden vowed unwavering U.S. support in Israel today.
While it may not feel that way today, Israel must again be a safe place for the Jewish people. And I promise you, We're going to do everything in our power to make sure there will be.
And former President Trump says the government's involved in a big fat lie after listening to testimony today in his civil fraud trial.
This case should be dismissed. This is ridiculous, what's going on.
Are you
all you have to do is take a look at the record of the people in the room.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Altoona's Modicum Brewing Company has announced it will close its doors after an attempt to relocate the business. The company had previously planned to move to Artisan Forge Studio in Eau Claire, but between construction and regulatory issues, the owners decided to close up shop instead. In a Facebook post, the owners of Modicum Brewing thanked the Chippewa Valley community for supporting them over the years and allowing them to spend their days doing what they love. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has received nearly $17 million in federal funding to enhance operations of the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline. The service answers calls, texts, and chats to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline program. The additional funding will build the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline workforce, strengthen connections between the service, 911 centers, and county